It's time once again for our chat with Willie Hallahan, who hosts the website sportingacause.com. That is sportingacause.com. And Willie posts up there different sporting events that are also fundraising events. And it covers a wide area in our tri-state region. And we speak with Willie every week. Good morning, Willie.
Good morning, Marshall. Thanks for having me on.
Well, this is the week before the week.
Yes, it is. Of course, Jump Fest dominates my news, certainly, but I should mention a couple other things first because they're also part of the sports-related fundraising scene. Today is the last day of the next-to-the-last Norfolk Curling Club Bonspiel season, and I know I speak of them often, but they have four or five events a year. They're four-day events, and this one, the one that we're in today, ending today, was characterized by a visit on Thursday, the first day of the Bonspiel, by Tyler George. And if nobody recognizes that name, he was the vice skip of the American curling team, Olympic team, that won the gold medal in the Korean Olympics. He's become the ambassador at large for curling in general and a representative of Team USA, and he goes around to all the curling clubs in the country, and he was in Norfolk for this and giving people demonstrations and so forth. That's a big deal. In the curling world, that's huge. I mean, everybody loves an underdog, and the U.S. curling team was certainly that in the Korean Olympics, and they beat Sweden in the final for the gold medal. That was mammoth. The only comparison I can think of is probably akin to Joe Namath and the Jets beating the Colts in the first Super Bowl. It was that unexpected. But anyway, that was a cool thing. And today is the last day of curling, that competition. Go up there if you want. And there's one last one at the end of February that I'll talk about in coming weeks.
And there's no admission for people to go to these.
No, it's absolutely free.
And it's a comfortable environment.
It is absolutely uncomfortable. They got a fireplace. They got seating all around. Of course, it's all geared towards watching the events. The you walk in, the spectator area is raised, and you look out big, huge windows down onto the ice, and the viewing is perfect, and they've got a lounge there, a little restaurant, basically, so you can have lunch, a cocktail, whatever, and watch the action. And always people around to help explain to you, if you haven't seen it before, what's going on. Curling people are huge the promoters of their sport. So that today ends that, but there's one more at the end of the month. Today's the last day also of the Jimmy Welsh Hockey Tournament up at Berkshire School. That's aimed towards the little ones, that's a multi-day tournament as well. That ends today. And then we get into Jump Fest. Coming up next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there's Jump Fest. Friday night is the ski jumping under the lights, the target jumping. That's a fun night for the jumpers. By the way, the same jumpers jump all 3 days for various reasons. And Friday night is just fun for them. It's fun for the crowd, too, where the lights are on, so they're jumping under the lights. That's cool. They're trying to jump land on a target that's been painted on the landing hill, and there are prizes involved. And they can just jump without worrying about judges' points or anything. That happens Saturday and Sunday. And then after the target jumping's over, the human dog sled race ensues. And that's become one of the fun events of the 3 days, quite frankly. Those are six-person teams, five people pulling one, on sleds that the team designs themselves. Some are stripped-down aerodynamic sleds. Some are just outrageous. There are trophies for first place in men's, women's, and mixed divisions. And there's a People's Choice Award for the team with the best sled or costume combination, and that happens after the human dog or after the target jumping is over. There's something I need to enter before I get to Saturday's events. There's something going on in Salisbury that we haven't given enough.
That's the Salisbury Association SWASA exhibition at Academy Building, which is amazing. Yeah. And it even got more amazing last week, Willie, because they got a bunch of Roy Sherwood's Olympic stuff there.
Exactly, yes. This is an exhibit put on by the Salisbury Association, specifically Sarah Morrison, who's a tireless supporter of SWASA, and she basically mounted this exhibit. And it's very, very interesting. SWASA has an interesting history. It's filled with characters and history, and even the 10th Mountain Division has an association with Salisbury and SWASA. And this exhibit has been going on, and they've expanded their hours a little bit over Jump Fest weekend. So Saturday and Sunday, it's open from 10 in the morning to 5 in the evening or the afternoon. So you could, if you're planning on coming to Jump Fest on either of those 2 days, you could either go to the exhibit before going to Jump Fest, or you'd have time to go afterwards. But it's worth seeing, because our history is rich. And as you say, Roy's family has donated a lot of Roy's memorabilia. And that part I haven't seen yet. I've seen the exhibit, but I haven't seen the edition yet. But it would certainly be worthwhile. It's free, of course. It's right in downtown Salisbury. The Academy building's right next to the post office. And I'd encourage anybody to go see. Anybody who's ever heard about SWASA's history, it behooves you to go and get all the details about it.
It's amazing. I with Rosanna Rand interviewed Roy, and we did a television thing which lasted an hour. And listening to Roy talk about ski jumping in Salisbury, and then Cortina Valley in Italy when he was in the Olympics, the history of SWASA, and he always hated to call it SWASA.
He did.
Salisbury Winter Sports Association. Correct me. It's just amazing. And when you find out how it all started 90-some years ago, it really is amazing.
I know. It could. This is a subject for another time, I'm sure, but it so easily could not have happened in Salisbury. Basically, one man came to town, and because of what he was able to do and his gift for teaching, it took hold in Salisbury. But very, very easily, it could just not have happened, and ski jumping would have no presence in Salisbury's history at all. But that's probably grist for another conversation.
That's right.
It's a lengthy one. So Saturday and Sunday, I encourage anybody to go to the Academy building to see that. Saturday at the ski jump, this is when serious jumping starts for the jumpers. It's a Salisbury Invitational, which is Salisbury's own tournament, and there are trophies up for grabs for that. It's a very prestigious part of our weekend. And the jumping actually starts at 1. You can get there earlier and watch practice. They do some practice jumping beforehand. There are always bonfires going Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. We have two big bonfires, and people cluster around them if it's on the cold side. And there's plenty to eat and drink there. It's just everything's geared towards the visitor's experience. Saturday night, at the White Hart from 8 to 11:30 is the Snowball, the annual Snowball. The Snowball has returned to the White Hart for the second year, I guess, or third, where it always used to be. And the White Hart's a great friend of SWASA. They help us out wherever they can, and they're hosting the Snowball. The Steve Dunn Band is playing. The entry fee for adults is $15, as it is for all of the SWASA events. Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, the Snowball are all $15 for adults, and children 12 and under are free. We encourage whenever we can to get young people there, and that's why we have that fee structure, so that allows as many youngsters as possible to come visit. And then on Sunday is the big event. It's typically the biggest crowd of the 3 days, and ski jumping-wise, it's the U.S. Eastern Ski Jumping Championships. This is a required jump for any of the jumpers in the Eastern Division who are looking to make the junior national team. The junior nationals is a big deal for ski jumpers, and it's the last stage before the Olympics. So they make that, and it's the next step up the rung if they have the Olympics in their sights. And then after that, at the end of the tournament, the junior national team is named. They do it in Salisbury. They've done that in Salisbury forever. It's a big deal for us. It's a huge honor, really. So the jumpers are going to be at their best Sunday. It's a make-or-break jump for them. The quality of jumping is superb. I've come to say as a spokesman for SWASA, you have to be careful what you say in your enthusiasm, but I say and I mean it that the jumpers you see in Salisbury, some of them will make the Olympics. They're that good, and we've seen it happen time and time again back in the when the Winter Olympics were in Sochi, Russia. Three out of the four American ski jumpers representing the USA were from the Eastern Division, and we watched all of them come to Salisbury every year. We watched them grow up, basically, as they came to jump. So we have a very close association with the Olympics, and that's very cool, and you won't be disappointed. If you've never seen ski jumping before, never seen it live, then you need to come to Salisbury. And you'll chances are good you'll always come back after that. It's something that you can't experience on TV. You have to be there to see it.
All right. In our last 2 minutes, we are going to look at the forecast, and we do this for just basically to explain to the spectators what affects and what doesn't affect the Salisbury Winter Sports Association ski jumps.
Sure.
The weekend of the ski jumps, Friday night, Saturday, and even Sunday, right now look clear and winter-like, where temperatures will be in the 20s during the day, low 20s, and in the teens at night. But right now, looking at Wednesday night through Friday, there's a bunch of forecasts that call for everything from freezing rain, and to rain, sleet, and snow. All temperatures right around 35 to 40. But the amount of snow that you've made and you're going to continue to make, this really, it would take a monsoon to do anything.
And it's important for your listeners to know, too, that if we have weather before the event, it doesn't mean that we're canceling or postponing anything, not necessarily. We made lots and lots of snow. We're very good at it, at making snow when the weather permits, and we're good at keeping it when it doesn't. It can rain, it can get warm, and that doesn't affect the jumps at all. Having said that, what we try to do is keep, we always encourage people who are looking to come to either go to jumpfest.org before they come, just to make sure that the schedules haven't changed. If we make changes, we always tell you, Marshall, and you're great at putting it up either on the radio, on your website, or Facebook. And I'd encourage people, especially if you're traveling any distance at all, to check first. If we have rain before the event, we cover the in-run and the landing hill with plastic. If it gets really warm, we insulate and then cover it. Like I say, our crew's very good at preserving our snow and. Sometimes we have to remove snow from the landing hill. It has to be, there can't be anything on the surface for the jumpers. Even dusting of snow, we have to blow off just so there's no friction when they land. But we're very good at it, and all systems are go.
All right. Willie, I know you're going to be working a lot next weekend, but we hope to speak to you next Sunday as well.
Yeah, I'll make sure we do.
All right, Willie. Have a great week.
You too, Marshall. Thanks, as always, for having me on.
You're welcome.